All right, well, let's open up. Continue in prayer. Lord, just bow your heads. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We love you, Lord, and so grateful and so thankful that your love never fails. We know that you are a God. You don't break your promises. You don't lie. You can't fail. So we thank you that we can trust you. Not only do we love you, Lord, help us to trust you with 100% of our heart, Lord. We thank you that you don't fail. We thank you that you left your word for us, Lord. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. So we thank you for your word. Bless your word. Bless your people to hear, to discern. Lord, don't just give us information. Give us revelation, Lord. And may it lead to transformation, a transformed life. That's our prayer. We know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord. So we try our best to navigate daily on our jobs, in our homes, with friends, at the gym, in the store. God, let your word come to remembrance on how to act, how to speak, how to love, how to give, how to forgive. May we live by the standard of your word and not the confusion of the world. We love you this morning, Lord. Speak to us now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we finish up with the wilderness experience, there were five things that kept the children of Israel in the wilderness. We've gone over three, and then today we'll touch on number four. So if we pick it up at 1 Corinthians 10:1, if you're there, say amen. Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was a mess, probably similar to the church as a body, as a whole in America today. And he's saying, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant or stupid how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So Paul talks about our history there. We've talked about this. So it's just a quick review, but make a note. That's our history. That we now have a biblical history. It's not an oppressive world history. It's a freedom through Christ's biblical history. Verse 2, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat all the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And this is when it shifts. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness on the side of the road. Verse 6 says, they were our examples to the intent we should not. And the first thing they got caught up in was lusting after evil things. They just became evil and just wanted things more than they wanted God. And they got emotionally attached to things and spiritually disconnected from God. Then verse 2, they were idolaters. Verse 7, they were idolaters, which means they started worshiping other stuff. False gods. Make a note, family, which you already should have in your notes. You got to worship something. We're built to worship. You and I, we have to worship something. I always recommend the true and living God. Neither be idolaters, is where some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day. 23,000 fornication. They were sleeping around. The word fornication right here in this Greek translation, homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, adultery, sleeping with anybody that you're not married to. So what do you do in the wilderness for 40 years? Whatever you want to. And you die on the side of the road. And I submit to you that we're right in the middle of a wilderness experience right now. And we can get distracted in dysfunction and get comfortable in confusion and die there, never reach the place that God has for us. So then we get to verse 9. It says, neither let us tempt or test Christ, as some of them were also, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. So make a note that word tempt means to test Christ. Let me say as plain as I can. This is the theme somewhat this morning. We were not created to test Christ. We were created to trust Christ. Amen. See, that's the problem right there. They're saying, God, you got to prove yourself to me. And God is saying, I've already proved myself. And for us, it's even easier for us. What else does God have to prove? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't get much better than that. You can't have more love than that. That when we were at our worst, God was at his best. And all the way to the death. So what else does God have to prove? What else does God have to prove to you that he loves you and that he cares for you? So in the middle of the wilderness, you're saying, God, you got to prove that you love me. And God is saying, why are you trying to have, why don't you just trust me and stop trying to test me? All right. So you say, Pastor, because I know y'all, we needed to be broken down a little bit further. The word test right here in the Greek, the tempt word here in verse 9, to put to proof God's character and power. God, you got to show me who you really are and what kind of power you have. God said, are you serious? When we were at our worst, God was at his best. In most other places, when you are at your worst, you get what you deserve. I know y'all still struggling with it, so let me tell you what. All right. When you go to your job and you're at your worst, you're going to get fired. They're not going to put up with that. For those of us that have our own businesses, when we treat our clients and we're at our worst, you're going to lose your business. Here at our ministry, if we don't treat people with the love of Christ, you're going to be ministering to empty pews. People ain't going to stand for that. And my youth, when you're at school and you're at your worst, you're going to get an F. That's how it works. When you're at your worst, nobody else is going to die for you when you're at your worst. But God. God is faithful and he's true. He doesn't fail. He doesn't lie. He doesn't break his promises. So here's the children of Israel in the wilderness, lusting after evil things, idolatry, fornication, and then saying, God, you got to prove yourself. After he's already parted the Red Sea, God, you got to prove yourself. All right. Let's pick up the commentary. Let's go to Exodus 17 so we can see what's going on. Exodus 17 and verse 1. Dominique, thank you. Dominique's rolling with me today. When you're there, say amen. So make a note. Here's one of the notes I have. We're not called to test God. We're called to trust God. We must operate with a high level of Christian maturity, even when we are in the wilderness. Even when we are in the wilderness, we must operate with a high level of Christian maturity. 17 and 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Okay. So they traveled from the city of Sin, S-I-N, it's a place called Sin. Most of us, all of us, have been there at one time or another. But this is an actual place in Egypt, but look what it is. It's the name of a town. And the meaning is thorns and clay. So they traveled from the thorns and clay to Rephidim, which is a place of rest. So we know that the thorns and clay, we know just from the name that it's uncomfortable, it's dry, it's dusty, it's painful, and it's unpleasant. As they were commanded, and that means by the mouth of God. It's not talking about the commandment of God. This word commandment in the Hebrew means the mouth of God. So the mouth of God said, you're leaving this place and you're going to a place of rest. So God gives them a place of rest. They don't have water and they're complaining. So make a note, family. If God commands, then God's going to comfort. If God guides, then God is going to provide. If God leads, then God is going to see you through. Even if you're in the wilderness of thorns and clay and there is no water to drink, you are tired, you're thirsty. And then just naturally, it has to be somebody's fault. Keep in mind, you're in the wilderness and trying to get to the promised land. Somebody make a note. You're just not in the wilderness to stay there. It's temporary. You're just there trying to get to where God is trying to take you. Never confuse the temporary with the permanent. Amen. So you're trying to get there and you've been lusting after evil things. You've been worshiping idols and fornicating. And now you add to the list, you want to test God and you want to contend with God when you should be cooperating with God. In the Hebrew, the word tempt here means to contend, to fight, to doubt, to dispute. So now you're in the wilderness and you want to argue about every little thing. Look at verse 2. Wherefore the people did chide. They did chide. That word means to contend with Moses. They wanted to beat Moses up because it has to be somebody's fault because of where I am right now. And so I'm going to look at the leadership, and it's Moses. Let's beat him up. Let's stone him. Look what they said in verse 2. Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why are you trying to beat me up? And why are you testing the Lord? Think about your life. Why are you doubting the Lord? Why are you taking it out on people? God has you, make a note, God has you right where he wants you. Otherwise, you would be somewhere else. I have this, read this, Kathy, so I got to read this. They rolling up on Moses. Moses, like, why are you rolling up on me like this? When you roll up on God's leadership, who is operating according to the mouth of God, then you are testing and trying and doubting God. Remember, we're to trust and not to test God. We should not be complaining or murmuring because of where God currently has us in life. I'm going to read that again. We should not be complaining or murmuring because of where God has us in life. We have to trust God with the details and journey by faith as we are led to the place that God has promised. Even when we are in the midst of thorns and clay and dust, it's dry, it's uncomfortable, it's painful, it's hot, it's unpleasant, and we're in the wilderness. It's nobody's fault. It's just where God has us on the journey. It's temporary and not permanent. Family, what do you do for 40 years in the wilderness? You beat people up. Because it's their fault. Remember, we have to operate with a high level of Christian maturity with this. This is what they were doing. Paul is making a comparison to us because this is what we're doing, and we will stay in the wilderness and never get to where God is trying to take us. Not that you want to beat up the leadership, but that you're never going to get to where God's trying to take you. That's what you're missing out on. God's best for your life. Okay, let's make it plain. Verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? You brought us up here all the way out of Egypt just to let us dehydrate and die in the wilderness. Revelation. Don't allow your physical needs to cloud your spiritual common sense. Don't let your physical needs cloud your spiritual common sense. Because you are thirsty or hungry or lonely or tired or sick or injured or hurt, don't let that affect your mind and your spirit to the point that you think God doesn't care about you. That God is out to get you. That God even wants to kill you and your children and your stuff. Don't allow your physical needs to cloud your spiritual common sense. Family, as we journey through the wilderness, we just have to point the finger. We have to think it's somebody else's fault, but it's not. Make a note. You got to trust God wherever you are. Wherever you and I are, we can't get around that. Look at verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, what shall I do? This people, they are almost ready to stone me. These people are ready to kill me, God. They want to take it out on Moses. And okay, so make a point. Number one, sometimes you got to cry out in the wilderness. It's okay to cry out in the wilderness. And think about this. If the people would have cried out to God, just like Moses is doing, God would have responded. But they chose to blame. I got to blame y'all. Instead of crying out to God, I'm going to blame y'all. And then want to, not only that, I want to kill you now, Bernie. As opposed to crying out to God, saying, God, I need some help. Family, make a note. Cry out to God in the wilderness. It's not anybody's fault. Where you and I are, we just go through stuff. But God has a place he's trying to take us. You got to deal with stuff in the wilderness. But no, in the next half of this, obviously I'm not going to get to it this week, but God gives us solutions. But number one is crying out and praying to God in the wilderness. God listens. God hears. This thing is so deep. Wait till next week when you hear part two. It gets even deeper. So I got to all this, read this stuff. just like today, we should be crying out to God. We should not desire to criticize or kill the president. It got to be somebody's fault. Remember, this is a high level of spiritual maturity. And this is God's people. That's his leadership. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Dominique, take us to Romans 13, verse 1. Look at Romans 13 and 1. God's called us as Christians. God's called us to a higher standard. And God help us to mature to that standard. Now, if we're in the world's going to do what the world's going to do. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I don't care who's. You know how many ungodly kings there were? And God's always called his people. Remember, we talked about it was at the first Sunday. If my people, which are called by my name, yes, would humble themselves and pray. It's a high level of spiritual maturity, but it's so easy to say it's because of you all and because of especially him that I am where I'm at. Then we start criticizing, then because it starts with the leadership, and then next is God. God says, time out for that stuff. Cry out to me. Stop criticizing, trying to kill people and slander their name. Even if you don't kill them physically, you want to slander their name, kill their name. And I'm talking to Christians now, because the world's going to do what the world's going to do. And I don't even entertain that stuff. Yeah, hey man, what do you think? Well, nobody's perfect. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There you go. They want to get away from me. Thank you. And especially as men, we talked about in our men's meeting yesterday. What man hasn't sinned? We all need a savior. That's what this whole thing is about. Amen. Point people to Jesus Christ. All right, let's go back to Exodus 17. Let's kind of wrap this up. Make a note, family, and I meant to write the scripture down, but I'll have it for you next week. When we complain against God, we say God doesn't know what he's doing. It's our lack of faith. Let me tell you a little secret. The word says whatever that is not of faith is sin. So to have lack of faith, to not trust God 100% is a sin. So that's why we ask God to forgive us, because we've all been there like, God, I don't know how you're going. God say, you got to trust me, God. So that makes all of us equal. So somebody can say, well, I don't need God. So you ever doubted? You ever thought a foolish thought? That's sin. You need a savior. Just for that, the foolish thoughts, which is sin. And then lack of faith, which is sin. You can sit home. You can sit at home all day. And you can, we talked about it this morning. You can watch Mary Poppins every day and listen to gospel music. But you can't tell me you never doubted and you never had a foolish thought. You need a savior. It's not merit based. We're not saved because of what we do. We're saved because of the grace of God. So this always shows us, the word always shows us that we need help. We need a savior. And to operate on a high level of spiritual maturity, we need to point others to Christ. Don't get into the complain game and the blame game and all that. Remember, if you're not praying for someone, then you can't complain about someone. Husbands, if you're not praying for your wife, then you can't complain about your wife. Wives, if you're not praying for your husband, then you don't complain. Parents, if you're not praying for your kids, then you can't complain about your kids. Youth, if you're not praying for your parents, then you can't complain about your parents. Because what happens when you start praying, then God changes your heart and you start seeing not the little toothpick in their eye, you see the big tree in your eye. We were talking about it at Christmas time. And, you know, people, I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't do that. Okay. But I think God is not really concerned about the Christmas tree. I think he's more concerned about the big tree in your eye. I think that's what God's more concerned about. That big tree in your eye. So we don't get to the point where we've made it. We haven't. And try and pretend we have it going on. So I can't complain about anything if I'm not praying about it. Not complain about my church members if I'm not praying for my church members. But you know what it does? It changes my heart. Then God allows me to see me. And then I keep praying and keep my mouth closed. Now I humble myself and say, but by the grace of God, that's me. So I'm a lot more graceful and sensitive to my kids and to my wife and to my members. Because God shows me when I'm praying, he shows me and gives me revelation. That's spiritual maturity, family. That's spirit. That's what God's calling us to. So here we go. Look at where we at? Verse 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with you the elders of Israel and your rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in your hand and go. Ooh, look what God is saying. God speaks in the midst of our dry and thorny situation. So make a note that God speaks. Remember, God's always speaking. We just have to make sure we're listening. But here we see that Moses cried out. When you cry out, God responds. God speaks through his words, through others, through his Holy Spirit. And you know it's God because it lines up with his word. God's not going to tell you to do anything that's contrary to his word. That's not God. But then to make sure, God told him, look what he told him to do. Take the elders. Take some spiritually mature people with you and go. Family, you and I must have some real mature believers in our life that we can depend on to walk with us when God is instructing us. Who can you call when you are in the midst of a dry, thorny, dusty place with no water and your own people are ready to kill you? Family, that's when you and I must have some mature elders to walk with us as we follow the voice of God. Let me break it down for you. Couples. You must have some mature couples to walk with you in the dry, thorny, and no water places. Singles, you must have some mature Christians to walk with you, some mature singles to walk with you when you're in the dry, thorny, and no water places. Men, you must have some mature men to walk with you. Women, you must have some mature women to walk with you. Youth, you must have some mature youth to walk with you when God says go. You must have some mature people walking with you and praying with you and for you when God says go. There's no way around it. I'm so thrilled because yesterday we had our men's discipleship class and we met right over there in the conference room. I tell you, we got some good men at this church. I don't have to worry about having some real mature men walking with me as a man of God. God's building us up. We're walking this thing together. That's God's word. The word says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. That's why you have to beware of people when you say, hey, I'd like to invite you to church. Oh, no, I'm good. I just kind of stay at home and me and God, we do our own thing. That never works. That's totally contrary to the word. How are you living contrary to the word, talking about you're okay with God? It just doesn't work like that. Family, you need somebody to walk with you. It might take a while so you can discern who to walk with you, but you need to be on the lookout for someone who's mature, someone who's real, someone who's humble, discreet, and transparent at the same time. That can walk with you, that when God says go, that you all can go together. Okay, let's finish this up. Verse 6. Man, God says, behold, I will stand before you. Make a note, God's with you in the midst of the dry, thorny, unpleasant, hot, uncomfortable, uncertain place. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. Look at Moses' obedience. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Make a note of the mercy of God in the midst of the wilderness. They're complaining against God. They want to kill Moses. And the mercy of God shows up and said, I'm still going to give them some water. See, it comes back to us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. I'm still going to send the rock, which is Christ, where the living waters flow out of him. I'm still going to give him some living water. You don't have to doubt God. God already proved his love to us. In the midst of all that complaining, God still shows up and is merciful. He still sent the living water for us. Oh my gosh, look at this. Know that when you are walking with mature elders, God goes before you. God will be with you. God will provide for you. God will guide you in the presence of the elders. Expect God to perform a miracle in the wilderness. Expect God to give you something out of nothing in the wilderness. Stop complaining and start trusting. God can open fountains and doors where we least expect it. Who would think that water would come out of a rock? Out of all places to get water. How about a river? How about a fountain? How about a pool? Expect God to give you a miracle right where you are. And it can come from somewhere unexpected. Don't despise anyone. Don't despise anything, because you never know how God's going to show up. It absolutely makes no sense. But that's why he's called us to trust and not complain. All right, I'm wrapping this up. Expect a miracle in the midst. Somebody write that down. That's your word this morning. Expect a miracle in the midst. Ooh, man. Oh, let me finish this up. Ha! Verse 7. And he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah because of the chiding or the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Are you kidding me? So he had to give it a name. Every place has a name. He called it the place Tempted and Contention, because they were trying to figure out if the Lord is with us or not. Every place has a name. I'm wrapping this up now. Tempted and contention, as opposed to trusting and comforted. Your house has a name when you go home. I'm hoping it's called Trusting and Comforted. But only you know that, because nobody really knows what goes on behind closed doors. Somebody say amen. But your house has a name. Your job has a name. Hopefully it's faithful and true. But it could be flirting and foolishness too. Every place you go has a name. And it's based upon what's really believed at that place. Our church has a name. I would say it's warm and welcoming. Amen. Every church has a name. I don't care what it says out there. When you go in, you know what that church is about. Spend some time there. Every place has a name. Hopefully it's fellowship and faith and light and love.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sought and sanctified.
Yes.
But every place has a name. What would you call the place you are now? Pastor, lighten up. So even despite what you would call it, what would God call it? Because the people probably wouldn't have called it that. They would have said it's Moses' fault, it's God's fault. But Moses and God call it contention and tempting. So the people call it one thing, God calls it something else. So here's my question again. What would you call the place? What would you call your house? And what would God call your house? What would you call it last week? And what would God call it last week? Every place we go, let me finish this up, Kathy. I'm having too much fun up here. Every place we go is a witness to how we trust and depend on God or how we doubt and disrespect God. If I'm practicing sin, that tells me that I'm in a place of disobedience and disconnection. Is that what it's called? If I'm in obedience to God, then I'm in a place of obedience and favor. Your lifestyle says God is with me, or your lifestyle says there is no God. And you're trying to figure out if God is among you. Your week last week said God is my rock, my fortress, my shield. Or your week said God doesn't even exist. Your lifestyle can say God is everything, or your lifestyle can say I see no evidence of God anywhere. Did it make you want to cry? It'll make you want to cry when that word started hitting you. I know. Is God among us or not? Doubting, disputing, complaining, wanting to fight or even kill in the wilderness because I don't trust God to be with me or provide for me at all. What do you do for 40 years in the wilderness? You just doubt and you complain and you want to fight and you want to kill and you forget where God is trying to take you. Family, don't get caught up in this world of confusion. Is trying to distract you and get you comfortable in dysfunction, complaining, and not trusting. Every place we go has a name. And we got to pick up the rest next week. Oh my gosh. If you would, just bow your heads quickly. Lord, it's really cut and dry this morning. It's no way around trusting you, God. What is the place called in our heart? Even before we get home, we got to deal with ourselves. God, I'm praying for everyone under the sound of my voice, that the place in their heart would be trusting and comforted. God, that we would learn to trust you like never before. We would allow your Holy Spirit, which is the comforter, to comfort our hearts like never before. Even when we're in our dry and dusty and dirty and hot, uncomfortable, unpleasant, confused wilderness place. And even when you take us to the place of rest, we can't even appreciate that because we start complaining about something else. God, I'm praying that we can rest in you this morning. God, comfort the heart of your people. Strengthen their faith that they may trust in you like never before. Oh, we thank you for your word, Lord. We bless your word. Surround us. We're praying right now. Send into our life mature Christians, Lord. Oh, we love our other friends, but God, send us some mature Christians that we can walk with. And when you tell us to go, we can go with. That's praying, God. And we expect to see a miracle where something comes from nothing because of the God we serve who created everything. Oh, we love you, Lord. We trust you. You're calling us to a level of Christian and spiritual maturity like never before and trusting you. God, we don't want 2019 to be an extension or the same as 2018. We want to go to a new level in you. Trusting, not complaining about anything. but trusting God in everything. God will leave the details to you. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ. That's my first thing to do. I need to trust God. I need to trust that Jesus Christ can save me, can come into my heart and rescue me. If that's you, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. You don't have to guess whether you're saved or not, whether you've been rescued by God. You have. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ is our rock, and he gives living water that flows out of him. They had a physical rock that gave out physical water. We have a spiritual rock that was a physical rock, but he gives out rivers of flowing, living water. And you will never have to thirst again. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I need to get saved this morning. Elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. And that's between you and God. If you haven't been trusting and you want to start, then that's what the word says, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Remember, it's not merit based. You don't have to earn God's love. He already proved it. You don't have to earn it. It's already been proven. All you have to do is accept this free gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Confess those sins and get reconnected to Christ. And that's rededication. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I've been visiting and I want to make it official. I never really joined, but I want to make it official. That's you. Elevate your hand. We're all members, but we're really family. Say, Pastor, I want to join this morning. Lord, we thank you. God, you've challenged us this morning to live on a higher level. The complaining kept them, the complaining, the doubting, the disputing kept them in the wilderness. You say, God, well, I'm not lusting after evil things, and I'm not idolatrous, and I'm not committing fornication or adultery or any of that. But God said, you can't complain either. You got to trust me. You got to trust me with your life. So, God, we hear you. We're going to elevate our game to trust you. God, may the place of our heart, the name of our heart, be called trusting and comforted. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, members, I was going to have a 5-minute meeting, but since we went over, we got like a 2-minute meeting. So I'm asking the members so I can just come on up here and let's fill in these rows right here. Oh, we have an announcement before.
Yes.
Real quick. We would like to ask the men to come to the front of the church right now. Our intent is to honor our pastor
Mickey.
For his birthday.
Why you didn't tell me? Should I leave the recording on or not?
No.
Okay.